Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to another edition of the Flow Track Podcast, Sunday afternoon edition here in the United States. We're going to recap the Rabat Diamond League and talk about a couple of other exciting stories on a busy weekend of track and field. I'm Kevin. He is Gordon. Gordon, how are you feeling today?
I'm excited to be on this podcast. This is the third Diamond League podcast we're doing, and I finally made it to the start line. So I'm really excited to be with you to recap a Diamond League for the first time in 2022.
Yeah, a lot of false starts for Gordon, but I'm glad that you're here. Thanks, everybody, watching live on YouTube. Subscribe to the FlowTrack YouTube page if you can. Leave a comment in there as well. We're going to talk about some of the highlights from Rabat. We'll also obviously talk about Carson Warholm. Big story there, him getting injured and pulling up after the first hurdle. But let's start first, non-Diamond League, non-Rabat. Sydney McLaughlin, 51.61 in a race we're still learning more about, in a race that we're still digesting. People have talked about hurdles being put in the wrong place, so we're still trying to sort all that out right now. But let me just get your first reaction, because regardless of where the hurdles were, it probably slowed her down. It did not speed her up. So 51.61. I thought someone was reposting like an old race, like something from last year when I saw this go across social media. Because sometimes you search by a person's name and it brings up an old tweet. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know she's run 51s. Are they reposting the Olympic race or something? I was completely shocked by this mark, Gordon. Completely shocked to see her run 51.61 now in this type of meet.
Yeah, I was shocked too. Especially based off of like kind of what we were expecting from her going into USA's, it felt like she was planning on being kind of low key, you know, doing the 100 hurdles at Penn Relays, maybe doing a flat 400 here and there, but not really going to the well early on in the season. Maybe she'll save that for Worlds, then maybe a fast Diamond League post Worlds. So I was kind of already writing Sydney off in the pre World Championship season as like, she's going to go through the motions and she's going to give us her best shot in July. So I was completely thrown off because I had no idea that she was in 51 shape. Like clearly she wasn't taking it easy. Clearly she wasn't laying low. She was building up to an incredible performance that, looking back on it now, like a few hours later, could have probably been even faster if the hurdles were in the right spot. 51.61. We thought when we saw a 51 on the clock in Tokyo, that's an aberration, but now she's turning it into a season opener. Like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like, she ran faster than the winning 400 meter time, I think, at this meet. Did she? I think she ran faster than Did she run faster than the open four time at the same meet? I don't know. I like to say she did. Yeah, she ran faster than Maloney. Maloney winning the 400. She ran 51.84. The 400 meter hurdle mark was faster, 51.61. Just shows how much of a gap there is between Sydney and everyone else in this world. But yeah, this, if this is her new baseline, if 51 mid is her new baseline, what is her new ceiling? Because we thought she already hit her ceiling, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, but we talked about
how she doesn't live in a two-story house. She lives in like a five-story house now. I don't know.
We talked about how extraordinary that race was in Tokyo and how we may never see something like that again, and savor it, appreciate it, because that sort of performance doesn't come along every now and then. And then she goes out and in a low-key meet, you know, so low-key perhaps that the hurdles were in the wrong spot, she almost runs the same time and could have run even faster. So this completely alters my opinion of how fast she can run. She can run under 51 seconds in the 4-meter hurdles.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy, because just last year at this time, people were like, sub 52 maybe. And now we're already going to jump into sub 51s. Listen, she always runs faster in high-pressure scenarios. Sydney plus Dalila equals history. Dalila Muhammad wasn't in this race. Femke Bol wasn't in this race. Imagine what's going to happen when those three get together on the track. She's coached by Bobby Kersey. You think Bobby Kersey is peaking her for a meet in Nashville in the beginning of June? No, not at all. And listen, we were talking about Femke Bol last week, and Femke Bol is going to run again tomorrow. We were saying, hey, low 52s may get it done in 2022. That may be enough. No, we were wrong. We were dead wrong. We were completely and utterly wrong. And Sydney just went out there and showed she's just getting started with this event. I think sub 51 is possible. I think if you're a meet director and you're putting on a meet and you want to know if your hurdles are in the wrong place, have Sydney run it. And if she stutter steps even a slight bit, you know your hurdles are in the wrong place, because she didn't make those sort of mistakes. And that was the first clue, I think, for everybody. Like, wait, hold on. Her rhythm was off and she ran 51? That can't be. So listen, we'll find out more about it, but this isn't one of those errors like the steeple barrier was too low or the hurdles were too low, and once you move them up, it's going to slow the time down. No, no. She would have gone faster had these hurdles been in the right spot.
So do you think World Athletics will keep this mark, or do you think they're going to erase it? No.
They'll erase it, and it was the third fastest time in history, and it doesn't even bother me that much because I'm so sure she's going to run way faster again. And this will be an afterthought. This will be one of those interesting side notes of, man, she was so good, she was able to handle the hurdles being put in the wrong spot, totally disrupting her rhythm, and she damn near almost broke her own world record in a race she won by, what, 2 seconds? I mean, it's crazy how impressive this is.
Yeah. I mean,
they got it up there now, though. I'm looking at World Athletics right now. They have the 51.61 up there now. And again, yeah, we haven't heard anything official. It's just what people have said, respected people coming out of the meet. And then you saw with your eyes the stutter steps, which just, I mean, when I watched it and I didn't even know about the hurdles being misplaced, I thought, man, her time between the hurdles must have been incredible. And she can definitely take off more time once that pattern gets honed. But then people took a closer look and noticed the amount of steps she was taking was off, dramatically different. And again, it's not as if she's the one chopping her steps all the time. This is not something that Sydney usually does. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, PJ Vazel on Twitter wrote, problem with hurdle positioning, fifth one at 290 meters instead of 285. Sydney lost her rhythm due to hurdles on wrong marks. Missed the possibility of a huge World Athletics record in the process. Mm-hmm. Man, did you even know she was running at this meet?
Didn't even know. Again, when I saw the time pop up, I thought it was someone reposting one of her other 51-second race, like the other 51-second race. That's what I thought this was. I didn't know that she was running the meet, and I didn't know that she was going to be... I mean, if she ran 52, I'd say, man, world record, look out. If you're in 52.61, I'd be like, all right, we're going to see something special again this year. But 51, again, this completely alters what I believe is possible for her this year and the coming years.
Yeah. Well, what do you do now? I mean, like, I always think about this with professional athletes, like, how do they stay motivated? In certain sports, there is that glory of winning multiple championships because you want to be like MJ and win six or whatever. Or, you know, football, you want more than one ring.
Yeah.
But in track, when you have your Olympic gold and you have the world record, you know, it's kind of what gets you up at night. Like, what is Sydney focusing on? It feels like winning the 2022 World Championship feels like a formality of how good she is. I know Femke Bol is the real deal. Well, she just broke the world record in 300 hurdles. So I'm not trying to disrespect Femke Bol, and Dalila will find a way to still be there in Eugene. But I don't know. Like, I feel like we could have a lot of, we should do a segment of this. We should hand out gold medals in June. Like, who is going to Worlds as a formality, right? I feel like Sydney is one of those formality races because we all know she's going to win. There's probably like five people right now who we all know is going to win. And we're just kind of doing a participation race for second through eighth because we know who the winner is. And Sydney is going to be the 400 meter hurdle world champion.
But 24 hours ago, we didn't think that. So things change quickly. I think in the short term, if you want to stay motivated and you're her, what you're hoping for is that Femke Bol goes out tomorrow and runs 51.9 at Hengelo.
Yeah.
Long term, maybe you're looking at different events. But that's not going to come until after you go and you win the 400 hurdles in Eugene, and then you decide, all right, what do you want to – do you want to try to do a double? Do you want to try to do just an open quarter, not worry about the hurdles anymore? Those are other challenges that she could take on. But she has the opportunity in this event to push it so far forward. We thought that already was the leap, but really that was just the gather step to what is going to happen next here with this event. Because I look at this, you know, even before, if you told me all the hurdles were in the right spot, I still would say there's so much more to go here because you got to add the competitive element in there. And we've seen time and time again how Muhammad and McLaughlin raise each other's games, and Bol is going to fill that role too. So even if all the hurdles were in the right spot and everything like that, it's still a race in June. It's still her first 400 hurdle race, and it's still a race with no competition. I would have said sub 51 is possible. Now you tell me that the hurdle's in the wrong spot? I'm totally convinced sub 51 is possible. I'd be surprised if it wasn't at some point in her career now.
I will say this. This is the last thing I'm going to say on it. I texted you this after the race. World Athletics needs to figure out a better incentive model to incentivize someone of Sydney's caliber to want to run a 400-meter hurdle at a Diamond League event and not a Nashville track meet. Nothing. The meet was great. I'm happy that the meet director put it on and all that stuff. Great meet, etc. But like, we should have the number ones in our world in all of our events all going to the same type of locations, not happening randomly while I'm watching the Rabat Diamond League on TV. This is the Rabat Diamond League recap show, and we spent the first 11 minutes on Sydney running in Nashville, Tennessee. That's not good.
That was urgent. That was an urgent matter that had to be addressed right away. I could not wait until the Monday morning pod to talk about it. In the chat, MR says, wrong hurdles should be like a headwind. It's a hindrance. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I mean, there's a way for it to help if they were all way lower, then yeah. But for them to be off in the wrong spots, then yes, correct. That's a good comparison. It is like a hindrance. It's more complicated than headwind.
It's like running uphill.
Well, it throws you off technically too, because now what leg are you on? It can disrupt the entire rhythm of your race, just one of them being out of sorts. I mean, it's just incredible how much chaos that event can get thrown into with just one thing out of place. We're looking here now. What did Travis pull up here? This is the conversion table. So 51.62 in the 400 hurdles converts to what, 48.16 in the open quarter. So if she goes under 51, that would be like a 47.6, basically. Yeah, I don't know what's that, 21.59 in the 200.
I bet she could run 47.6.
You know what she should do? You know what she should do? Is get that 300-meter world record. Get that 300-meter world record. Drop down a distance, get that 300. It's Femke Bowles got it. She's like, I want all intermediate hurdle records. That's priority
one. A 200 hurdle in there as well. All right. Let's talk about right. let's move to the robot 400-meter hurdle.
Yeah. Yes. Which was much more of a bummer. I didn't see this race with fresh eyes. And what I mean by that was I was on delay. So I saw the tweets coming in. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. So it influenced how I viewed it. And the oh no's were in response to Carson Warholm, world record holder, Olympic champion, world champion, hitting the first hurdle, then pulling up and grabbing his hamstring, a sight no track and field fan wants to see. Ends up being his first loss since September 8th, 2018. He had won 18 finals in a row. By the time the race finished, when they panned over to him, he already had an ice pack on his leg. This shot that we're showing right now, for those of you watching, was like a cutaway immediately after the race finished. So in about 48 seconds, Carson Warholm already had ice on the back of his leg, and he was talking to his coach there, who was trackside. I don't know what I mean, we'll have to wait to hear what he says, but this is the first sign of vulnerability that we've ever seen from Warholm since his run began in this event. So I'm a little worried as a fan of this event and wanting to see the best out of everybody. I want to see him healthy. I want to see all that whole three healthy.
I'm not going to lie. This scares me. This is a big, big, scary thing because one, hamstring injuries, those things are notorious for being not
persistent.
What's the word? They're just notorious for being always around, and they're hard to get through. He was quoted saying, "I am very disappointed for this injury. I think it's a hamstring tear. Whoa. I'll focus on treating it and come back stronger. I also feel sorry for the crowd." Tear? Just that could be season ending. If you have a hamstring tear, you're not coming back in 40-ish days to run 46 seconds in a 400 hurdle. Like, that's not happening.
This is bad.
And even if it's not a tear, which I hope it's not, this is also going to be a huge mental block. Because if you know at any moment something could pop, there's going to be that hint of just like, what's the word? I'm really bad coming up with synonyms. Hint of hesitancy while you're going over the 10 hurdles, which is what it will take for a DeSantos or a Benjamin to not have no hesitancy and go for broke, and it could affect Warholm's ability to run to his full potential. So not only could it take him off the track, it could also take him off the track mentally because he'll be thinking about, I don't want to have a career-ending rip in my leg.
This is bad news. I hadn't seen the tear part. And he's diagnosing himself, so we'll see. And he says, come back stronger. We'll see about that. I feel sorry for the crowd. Don't feel sorry for the crowd. You showed up. You give a crowd more of a show than pretty much everybody else in track and field. But this is why you can't take that stuff for granted. I remember when we had him on the pod in 2010 or 2020, and we were saying, why are you racing so much this year? And he said, most pros only get like 10 good years. 10 good years. So I didn't want to sit out and waste those years. And this was his debut at the event, so it wasn't like he was overraced. I wonder if it was something that, you know, he made contact with that hurdle. He hit that hurdle, so I don't know if that was it. I'm assuming if there was any sign of trouble, just how cautious you're allowed to be in this sport, meaning he doesn't need to run anything until day one of the world championships, whenever the first round of the 400 hurdles is. I would have assumed he would not have run this race if there was any hint of anything that he experienced in training. So that makes me worried as well too. I guess we'll talk more about the ramifications of this. Obviously Benjamin and Dos Santos are right there. You know, they were the 2-3 behind him. Dos Santos has looked great this year, but the event's not going to be the same without Warholm. It's not going to look the same. It's not going to sound the same. I'm not going to have him screaming before the race. It's just going to be a totally different event because he's put his brilliance on it over the last couple of years, and he's put his personality on it too, Gordon. Like, he's that aggressive attacking style, you know, that have brought these fast times. Like, that's the Warholm experience, and that's what we've lived through these last 4 years in the hurdles event, and it just sucks to think we won't have it.
Just got text from one of our producers. Apparently, Norwegian commentator Christian Olsen said, very sad to see. It looks like a rupture in the buttocks. So now I'm hearing the word, him calling it a tear. I'm hearing a commentator say the word rupture.
Rupture, yeah.
I want to hear the word pull. I pulled my hamstring. I want to hear pull.
Yeah.
I want to hear tweet. I don't want to hear tear and rupture. Those are the two words I don't want to be hearing. And so if this is actually bad and it does affect the ability to get to the start line in July, how do you, if you're Ry Benjamin or Dos Santos and you go on and win a Carson Warholm-less championship,
yeah,
does it feel a little fraudulent?
Because
it's not like, oh, Warholm is past his prime. He's in his prime.
Injuries are part of it. It goes both ways, though, because it's like, look at how fast those two guys have had to run only to get silver and bronze. Say the same thing with the women's four-minute hurdles. So there's two sides of that, right? Not all events, not all years are the same. But if this does keep him out, and if one of those other two guys ends up winning gold, can you think of an event other than the women's race where there'd be a more deserving gold or silver medalist based on who they've had to compete against?
I don't know you can say that, though, because at the end of the day, you are being given the opportunity to not have to race one of the best runners of all time in the prime. Like, I don't know. I feel like when you call someone a gold medalist, a world champion, they are better than everyone else in the world. Not everyone else in the world except for that one guy who probably would have beat you, but he's hurt.
But if I told you 5 years ago, someone at the Tokyo Olympics is going to smash a historic record and run Kevin Young's record by 0.6 of a second and run 46.17, you'd say, all right, that person's getting gold. So, I mean, you go back, no. you could do this with a lot of events. You do this with a lot of events and injuries kept this person out in a lot of sport. No, I just think it's part of it. I think it sucks, but I also think those guys are running historically fast times, and it's part of sport. Let's keep moving
on. Hold on.
Let's keep moving them.
One more follow-up. So you're saying let's use Ry Benjamin because American podcast. If he were to go on and win Worlds this year and then never win another world title because he always loses to Carson Warholm, you wouldn't look at that one win that he had in 2022 as been like, that was the only reason you won that is because Carson wasn't around. You wouldn't say that?
I don't think there are with sports. I just don't think there are fraudulent wins. I just think it's wins because your availability is part of it. And if you're not available, you're not there. They're not going to wait to hold the championship. That's part of it. I mean, play the game if this person ran this event, or if such and such was allowed to double, and da 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 da. I mean, you could just go back and play the what if game all the time, but that's just sports. I think both those guys want him to be there.
Yeah, that's no, I would agree.
I wouldn't say that about most people, like of their main rival. I think people say that, but then I think deep down they're like, oh, but just like 1 year, if I could just have 1 year where I didn't have to take on that person. But I think those two guys, especially Benjamin versus Warholm, because he's been close so many times, I think he wants to beat him. I think he wants him in that race.
Which is why I think this is a really bad injury, because it's also...
Oh, it's a horrible injury. I'm not saying it's not a bad injury.
No, I know. Yeah. But like, it's also like, kind of sucks for Benjamin and Dos Santos because now they know, like, man, even if I win, there is going to be that little bit of asterisk of, like, did I actually win? Am I actually better than Carson, or am I just better at being healthy?
Yeah. But health is part of it. You know, you're a Sixers fan. Health is part of it.
Don't get me. Yeah, well, I know.
Elaine Thompson, hurrah, just did what we said she was going to do, Gordon. 10.83 in this race. Nobody else was sub 11. The margin made me think the time was going to be even quicker, maybe even the 10.6 that you were talking about on the pre-show. But ultimately, she wasn't pushed at all, and she's just consistently knocking out these marks anywhere between, you know, the high 10.7 she ran at pre all the way into, like, the low 10.9s. She's just kind of in that range, give or take a few hundredths here or there. But 10.83 ahead of Toulouse, 11.04. What'd you think?
I know this may sound taboo, or I shouldn't have this take, but I was kind of disappointed. I wanted something bigger. I was like, oh, 10.8, like, she can do that in her sleep. I was like, this would have been a good moment for her to put down a low 10.7, but she didn't do it. And it's fine. Like, there's no,
doesn't,
like, it's not that big of a deal, but I did start thinking about it. And I was like, when are we going to push Elaine? Like, when is Elaine actually going to be forced to give her true greatness? And it sucks that if we have to wait all the way till July to get that, you know, she's running all these races, right? And I want to see, be like 10.7 here, a 10.6 there. Holy crap, 10.61 here. And then it builds up to all these, like, fireworks for the big explosion in July. But right now we're getting a little bit of, like, we're getting a little firecrackers. We're getting a little, just small little sparklers. We're not getting, like, maybe we'll get at the Jamaica trials.
There's one person. Yeah. We're talking about one person being in the race against her.
Yeah.
Who can push her?
Shelly. Yeah.
And I think we're fortunate to have the other person, because in a lot of other instances in track history, if someone was that far, like, close to making history and putting the type of marks that she's been putting out, there'd be no one who can accompany her. Pull up, Travis, can you pull up last year? How many times did Thompson Hurrah and Fraser Price race against each other last year? Because they weren't ducking each other. And I don't think they're going to do that this year as well, too. So I think we're going to see these two face off. Now, it's kind of weird with the Jamaican trials, with, you know, who's got the bye, reigning champion, Diamond League champion, all that stuff. But this is 2021. They raced more in 2021 than they did in the previous part of their career. They ran, is this just 100?
Four meets, not counting the Olympics. Four meets, not counting the Olympics. Yeah.
Would you take that? I'd take that. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
well, two of them were post-Olympics.
Yeah. We got two pre-Olympics. What about 200? Yeah. I want at least one pre-Worlds. That's not Jamaica. I want 100-meter dash. I want 100-meter dash that's not the Jamaica trials before Worlds. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to see it. There's one person right now in the world who could challenge her, and that's Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. And she hasn't raced her yet. She's running.
I watched. They showed the replay of the Olympic 100-meter final. Man, Shelly-Ann could have won that. She just slowly fell apart in the second half of that race. I forgot about that.
That second 50 from Thompson Hurrah. Actually, from 50 to 80. That race was nuts. Because then she had enough daylight to celebrate early.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing. I was rewatching. I was like, this is close. I remember thinking at the time, though, Fraser Price needs that great start, needs an advantage at the start. Like, that's her bread and butter. And when things were even at that point, I was thinking, okay, this could go the other way, but not by that much. I mean, Thompson Hurrah just completely poured it on the second part of that race. So hopefully we'll see him pre-Olympics. Fingers crossed, track fans, that we get to see him.
I don't think we will.
Other news? Gordon the pessimist. Nothing in the 400-meter hurdles counts anymore, and Fraser Price and Thompson Hurrah are going to race each other.
Oh, speaking of pessimists, I got some, you know what we need to do? We need we need to cancel the men's 800 from the world championships. Like the men's 800,
I've been talking about that for a while.
Should not be held in Eugene in July. Like we should not be giving out a winner, no medals, those three medals. We should just give out, we should send to, you know, a third world country with like the victory shirts. So they give like the undefeated Patriot shirts. They also get the three world championship 800 meter medals because we should not have a world champion in the 800 in 2022. No one deserves to be called the world champion in that event. I'm saying right now, I don't care if you run 30 144s. You don't deserve to be a world champion. No, actually, this is what we do. You can be a world champion, but you have to have had run at least 143.5 or faster. If you don't run 143.5 or faster in 2022,
you
must relinquish your medal. You shouldn't even hold the race. Help. No, you know what? Screw it. Just don't even hold the race. This is just to go back to the men's 800. Once again, I thought I would get a good race in Rabat, and I got dog shit.
Had some momentum.
It was awful. 145 to win the Diamond League. That's what kids are running in like SEC championships, all right? We should not have the world-class athletes running the same time that 18 to 22-year-old college kids are doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a 17-year-old who actually won the Diamond League race, but basically what I'm trying to say is
let's wrap. Hold on.
I used to love the 800. I ran it in college. It was my favorite event, and they are making me miserable by having to deal with this shit results. I can't handle it.
All right, I think this is a fair standard. 800? No, I'm saying I think this is a fair standard because it can't be arbitrary. But let's talk about what we talked about last time, how Zahafi has the world lead from which meet, Gordon?
It's not even the Florida Relays. It's the Tom Jones Memorial.
Okay.
In Gainesville, Florida.
All right. If the world lead is from the Tom Jones meet, and it's still the world lead by how many more weeks do you want to give him? Let's give him a deadline. 2 weeks?
You know what would be nice? We'll do like July 1st.
July 1st. If it's still 143.69, then it's over. I thought we had some positive momentum. Ostrava was fun. We had some 144s. I thought we were trending in the right direction. Oh, Emmanuel Carrere's coming back. Oh, Nigel Amos is going to do his thing. And then we get the complete opposite. This has been a long time coming. This goes back to last year. Olympic Trials was the best race last year in the 800. The men's. It was exciting. Obviously, the drama with Brazier. You know, bummer he got hurt, but Murphy ran really well. Hopple out there pushing the pace. Isaiah Jewett. That was an exciting, tense race. Then you get under the Diamond League circuit. There's a bunch of winners, which is fun. Yay, parity. That's cool. But it was like just because there was no main person there because Brazier's hurt. And then you go to the Olympics. You have a super slow tactical race. But then you could have said, hey, it's Emmanuel Carrere. And he's good. He's legit. Once he gets into the new year and he's fully healthy and ready to roll, he'll be great. Brazier will be great. But then it's just sort of the trend of mediocrity just continued. Mariano Garcia, the guy who won World Indoors, the guy who's supposed to be the breakout star, he just keeps getting last at these races. I think this is his second. I mean, it's just reality. Yeah, he ran 148 today and got 11th. Carrere, 146.93 and got 8th. I'll say it again. If Brazier is healthy, Brazier, I take back what I said before about being pessimistic on Brazier. Brazier can still win the gold. Even though we haven't seen him. Donner and Brazier can still win the gold. Because if you're just completely sold on Wanyoni, which he is clearly the number one guy, but he's 17, doesn't have a ton of experience, he could be beaten, obviously. But literally anybody can win this 800 at the World Championships, assuming they contest it.
Yeah, that's still up in the air because I'm going to
put is in struggling. A
call to my local congressman. Struggling. In Eugene, Oregon, and tell them to do not sanction the men's 800 on whatever day of competition it is because it should not be held.
Yeah.
You know what? I should protest. I'll be like those PETA girls during the Minnesota Timberwolves games. I should like tie myself
glue your hand to the track.
Yeah, I'll glue my hands to the track, and I'll have a sign saying, "You guys don't deserve to run the 800 until you run 143." Do you think I could start a movement?
A movement?
anti-800 movement. I think I could do that.
Dude, and the people who will join it will be the people who love the 800 the most because they're seeing, and this is the men's 800, by the way. The women's 800 is women's awesome. Great. Women's 800 should not be involved in this at all. We're talking purely about the men's 800. I feel like I was early on this because I was telling you about this last year, but you were so excited that Emmanuel Carrere won that you were willing to overlook all the other just complete, uneventful, mediocre, blah. It's so hard to make an 800 race boring at any level. It's always exciting. It's always fun. There's like lead changes. There's jockeying. There's positioning. Someone always goes out hard. Are they going to get caught? Can they hold on? The times are pretty easy to figure out too, right? With the splits. It's so much fun. It's so hard to make it dull. And yet, it's like Thursday night football at this point, right? You're like, oh, football. Every football game's exciting. And then the NFL puts a Thursday night game on and it's like 9-3. And you're like watching
Texans versus the Commanders.
Yeah. And you're watching some backup quarterback go 7-for-28. And you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Like you're getting excited about a 7-yard rush off tackle. That's like the play of the game. That's where we're at with the 8. Okay.
Dear Donovan Brazier, if you're watching, which you're not,
please come back, dude.
Fix this for us. I can't deal with it anymore. Please just come and
this should have been your rant for the week.
I'll rant again next week about it. Hell, I'll rant. I can rant about this every day.
You know what?
Maybe I'll do a rant every day until they cancel the event. That's what I'll do. I will not let up.
Let's devote all content this week to this. Like on This Week in Track, I'll do a plea to Donovan Brazier to please be healthy and make it exciting in the 800. And then we can just have something every week. We got some updated news. This is from a Per Angell's Twitter account. Looks like he's a Norwegian journalist. And this is translated. According to team manager, Warholm is now being treated for a spasm-like condition in the back of the thigh. They cannot say anything about the severity of the moment. There's hardly a real stretch. After all, there's some good news in everything. Okay, well, that's where the translation is kind of failing us. If anybody speaks Norwegian. Yeah, if anybody speaks Norwegian and can translate real quickly, det tross alt litt god nyheter oppi alt for me, put it in the chat. Because I don't know what then there is hardly a real stretch. Is that saying it's not that bad? Because then when he says there is some good news in everything, I'm not sure.
There ain't good news in the 800. I'll tell you that. No good news in the 800. Except for that.
All right.
That Algeria kid. I like him. Who got second in Ostrava.
Mula.
Yeah.
Mula. Yeah, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Maybe he'll be the guy who runs 140.
He's going to be our savior.
43 and prolongs the event. All right. All the other events, we'll talk more about it on Monday. Bednarik ran 20.20. Shesha led an Ethiopian sweep in the women's 15, showing really well, 357. We'll talk about Felix and Richardson as well. But if people got questions, I'm going to click over the chat. Click over the chat here if people have questions.
Oh, careful. Be careful in the chat.
No. Someone said the chat's on their best behavior today, and they're saying it's because it's a chill Sunday crowd instead of the amped up Monday crowd. Yeah, Charles says it's the chill Sunday vibes. We'll be ravenous by Monday. Great use of the word ravenous there. Charles also said he thinks stretch and pull are being used interchangeably there. So it's like a bad cramp and not a true muscle pull. Okay. That'd be good. Yeah. Our content, we should just be, please get healthy, Carson Warholm. Please come back to the 800, Donovan Brazier.
Or maybe we tell just Carson to run the 800. Maybe we do that. Put Carson in the 800 and that'll be more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pay to watch a Carson run 145 than watching these other guys run 145.
So it's just a hurdle issue. Like he can run at a slower pace if he doesn't have to hurdle. That would be crazy. That'd be a lot of fun.
What if he's like, guys, I don't want to risk it, so I'm doing the flat 400. That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting.
That'd be a good plot twist. Victor says Conseslus Kipruto might be back. Men's steeple was great today, Gordon. El Bakali and Girma. That event was lackluster last year too, if we're being honest. But that's the first time two guys sub 8 in the same race since
2012.
Correct.
10 years.
10 years.
I found that stat for you.
Yeah. Well, didn't take me long. Someone asked about our thoughts on El Bakkali and Girma Water Race. Yeah, I mean, the Girma went sub-8 in Ostrava, El Bakkali, running at home. He always does well in that meet. The steeples had some close races, just transition from, remember, Ezekiel Kemboy was dominant, and then, you know, Makisi Benabad would get mixed up in that sometimes, and then fight mascots and take off his shirt and do weird stuff. And then you had Kipruto dominant. And then when Girma and Wale and El Bakkali came to the scene, it took a little time, but now that event's heating up and I'm enjoying it as well too. Kevin asks, U.S. trials for the women 100 is up in the air. Who do you think will win?
I don't think it's up in the air. I think Sha'Carri's going to win easily. No doubt.
We'll talk more about this tomorrow.
We'll talk more about it, but what she did on Saturday, no, you're not beating her now. It's over. Unless the
people
events,
want to talk
I was
going to
make a joke, but
people.
Never mind. I was going to make a bad joke.
Yeah, I just think the margin, she's running well, right?
Yeah.
She's in a better spot than she was in a month, obviously, because she's running. But the margin between her and the other U.S. athletes isn't that big. Like, she beats Prandini by 0.02. So there's other people in the neighborhood. It's not the same as it was last year going in trials. That said, I think she has to be considered the favorite. Any other questions? Tamara Davis, 1091. Yeah, we'll talk about those other Nashville races.
I'd say Brittany Brown is the one wild card, in my opinion.
Sub 22. Yeah.
Yeah, she ran sub 22. Talk about it tomorrow. But because I would look at it, it's Gabby in the two and Sha'Carri in the one. And then Brittany Brown is that wild card. Could she upset one of them? Mm-hmm. And also throw in an Abby Steiner for the 200 mainly to upset. But yeah, I think right now it's Gabby and Sha'Carri. Those are the two.
Okay, someone in the chat whose name is the Medievalist says Norwegian text means it was not a full tear.
How do they know that?
Maybe so need, wait, how does the person how does the yeah. person know that, or how does the doctor already know that?
How's the doctor know
probably
that?
Speak.
Are you able to tell something
that
torn by just touching it? Don't you have to put it like in
a
machine?
That's a better question. I thought you were asking how the commenter knew what it meant.
No, he knows it because he can read.
Language.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy we have different languages? It's still wild.
Wait, what? Did you just
it's say? Wild that we just have different languages. Don't you think that's kind of crazy? I think it's kind of wild.
Colt, take over. Colt, take over.
I'm too stunned to speak, honestly. I don't know. I don't know what
are
to
you
do
telling
that.
Me? You think it's just normal that the same species just all decided we're going to not communicate with each other? We're going to come up with different ways to talk? And then we didn't, like, we're able to have a universal number system. Why can't we have a universal language system? We just chose not to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not against it. I don't think English is the best one. I wouldn't want everyone to talk English. That'd be stupid. But I do think it's weird that
All right. We
just like, hey, we're just going to talk differently. I don't know. Thank God for Google Translate and the commentator and our YouTube channel. But I don't know. I think it's just kind of weird. If you really think about it, it doesn't really make sense. You know?
It makes perfect sense. People were separated by huge geographical land. They didn't have Google back then. They weren't like texting
each
other.
They're separated, but they all started in the same spot at one point, right? Like, if there was at least one person started, right? Or two people, whatever.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I mean, whether you believe in evolution or Big Bang or
what are we talking about here?
Or creation, whatever. We all agreed that there probably was just like two people to start, right? Or at least a group of people. So they all were in the same location, and then they all decided to go different directions. And then when they went separately, they started to come up with different languages.
Gordon.
Talking about...
I can't get over the fact that you said... I still think it's crazy that there's more than one language.
It is. I'm sorry. I take what I said back. I apologize.
I think it'd be funny if you said, I think it's crazy there's more than one track event.
Yeah. Well, I do think there should only be like five, but that's for another day. Yeah. So, and we're eliminating the 800. I had to choose between the 4 and the 8. I'm thinking I'm choosing the 4 now. So, I love the 800 too.
To be clear, you like the other languages. You're saying you just think it's interesting to you that
there's so different ones. Yes. Oh yeah. No. Oh, yeah. What does the word like mean? I mean, I'm in different. Like, I don't have like a language ranking. Like number one. Dutch or whatever. Number two, Arabic. Yeah. Number three, French. Four. No, like I don't have a ranking. They're all one.
We gotta go. The comments is getting.
We're losing.
Glasses right. Gordon hitting us up with philosophical talking points.
Let's talk about track and field. Should we send the pod?
Yeah. Alan says stay in your lane, track guys. Don't do linguistics. I agree.
Agree.
Sometimes Gordon. Says stuff and it's just it's like the him not believing in sunscreen.
Yeah, look at my,
not that it doesn't
neck. Look at that.
Not that it doesn't work, but just that it's not possible. Sunscreen. Thanks to Colt. Thanks Travis. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Just a few hours. We'll talk the rest of the news in the track and field world, and we'll send Gordon some
Mevis
books to read.
Rosetta Stones.
Wikipedia pages. See ya.